What is up? Good morning, afternoon, evening. Welcome, everyone. This is Partner First, where we bring in industry experts, vendors of note, and amazing MSPs. I am your Wild Wednesday host, Dean Trimpelis, full of sarcasm and unwanted opinions. Partner First is recorded on all the platforms you like, some of the platforms that you don't. Don't worry, you can watch this later. Today, we have an awesome guest. For those that do not know today's guest, one of the most fun people to spend any time with at a conference. He's been an MSP, now he's a vendor, and somewhere along the way, he picked one of the most confusing and scary verticals for a lot of us MSP people. Let's welcome Tim Golden to talk to us about cats as a service.
Meow.
I probably should have done checkers as a service, right? So, hey, Dean, thank you so much for having me. Tim Golden, founder of Compliance Scorecard. Yes, today we're talking about compliance as a service and not cats or coffee or checkers as a service. So we're caffeine. Really excited to be back here. Oh yes, caffeine as a service. Yes, I have my coffee as well. So we're really excited to be back here on Partner First, sponsored by OIT. And so thank you so much for having us.
We're really happy to have you. You're one of my favorite people in the space.
Thanks.
Just always friendly, great sarcastic wit, which I value. Because we don't have enough of that. And you are a fellow obsessed dog dad, which I very much appreciate about you. So awesome. I am very happy to have you here today. I was given, before we get into compliance, I was given a short list of things I should ask you about from some of your industry friends.
Sure.
I was told to ask you about your military service.
Yeah.
And I was told to ask you about, apparently you owned a cool car when you were a teenager. And I was also suggested I ask you about Die Hard and how that has something to do with your logo and branding.
Oh, yeah. So let's see. The first one was about my military service. Yeah. So not something I really love to talk about, but yes, I was in the military for roughly 13 years, mechanic, combat engineer, blowing stuff up and fixing stuff. It was a really good opportunity for me to build camaraderie, to build those relationships, to learn discipline. And there was this little thing that we used to have to do as mechanics called PMCS, or Preventative Maintenance Checks and Services. Fast forward 30 years later, I'm building a compliance company. Yes, because every day we had to check our boxes, hence our checkers, the boxer.
I love it.
30 years in the military, 30, oh my gosh, no, 13 or so years in the military. And yeah, it was quite the experience for me. What was the next question?
So I was told by someone who claims to be your friend that you had a very awesome car when you were a teenager, and apparently it was good enough that I should ask you about it.
So you mean my 1972 olive drab green military color? Plymouth Valiant. That was probably our good friend Matt Fox talking about, because he worked at an MSP by the name of Valiant or Relatable. So yeah, it was a fun car. You know, it was that ugly olive drab green, chrome everywhere. So yeah, it was really great. So
did you have the airplane buckles and everything?
Wait, seatbelts were a thing?
Yeah.
No, it was like this thing up on the ceiling that I could have tried to pull. Yeah, no, wait, no. But it did have a slant six. And if you know anything about old cars, a slant six, you could never kill those engines. Trust me, I tried.
I love
it. Until a car caught on fire and that was the end of it.
So since you mentioned Matt, I was also told there was a very interesting story around how your logo was created. And I know I'm wearing one of your older versions of your logo.
Got to get you the new one.
How did we get here? Like, how did you arrive at this? What led to this?
Yeah. So, you know, when I originally started rolling out what we were doing, and that was building our peer group, helping MSPs understand this, you know, complex world of compliance and teaching them the compliant things. And so I was like, crap, I probably need a website. I need a thing. So I was like, oh my gosh, like the compliancy guy. Yeah, that's great. Let's do that. And so we initially rolled out as the compliance guy, probably not the best pigeonholing half of the physical population of the world. I don't want to be known as pigeonholing that stuff. And so I was like, I need to rebrand. I learned a very valuable lesson about branding and inclusivity. And like, I don't want to be the guy. So a good friend of mine, Matt Fox, hopefully Matt, you might be listening here and chime in over on chat. Really good friend of mine, Matt Fox, well known in the industry, looking for work, by the way. I was like, Matt, I got to do something. So, you know, it's Christmas Eve. You know, he's watching Die Hard, drinking a beer, and I'm like, what? And then like, we're literally bouncing back and forth, and I literally threw everything out. Matt built our first logo. I picked the name Compliance Risk because, you know, that sounded good. And we came up with the first version of your shirt, right? Because I'm a military guy, I wanted the chevron, but I wanted check marks, right? Because, you know, compliance. Right. And so Matt built us out our first, you know, brand guide for compliance risk. And then fast forward, realizing, yeah, those two words sound a little harsh. And what we were really building were scorecards. So here we are, fast forward yet another year later. It seems like every year I rebrand, but I think I'm done, right? Now we are Compliance Scorecard. So huge shout out to our good friend, Matt Fox. If for anybody that's looking for any kind of graphics, creative direction, all that fun, great stuff, you know, hit them up on LinkedIn, the socials, the YouTubes, the other places. So thanks, Matt, for kind of helping us get out of our own way.
Yeah, he's all right. We'll keep going. All right. So I know you have a whole bunch of stuff because you're not only super passionate, but super knowledgeable around this. So I was an MSP for a long time. And so I kind of have just a generic starting question for you as a former MSP. Why do I need to offer compliance as a service just at all? Like, why is this even a thing? Can't I just go in one time, make them compliant, I'm done?
Yeah.
Why does this even exist?
So, wow, there's a lot to unpack there, right? So first and foremost, let's just kind of level set, you know, what is compliance? Right. And so for our, you know, and for the listening audience, it can be a big, scary word, right? Oh my gosh, tax season is like 5 days right away. My tax auditor is going to audit me, or the FTC or the Department of Justice is going to audit us against some compliant thing. And that can be scary. But the reality is we like to look at compliance as the referee. They're the ones with the playbook. They're the ones with the things to be able to follow, right? They're the ones throwing the flags or giving you the touchdowns in the scores, right? So compliance doesn't have to be scary. It just has to give you some guardrails. It has to be that referee. So what is compliance? It's kind of like the referee and a playbook for rules of us to follow. Now, as a service, when you're looking to operation your MSP services, I mean, everything we do is as a service, right? Everything that we do is, you know, some cloud-based thing, some SaaS product, you know, and being able to bring that into your MSP and help your customers understand the risk conversation by using some compliance frameworks to guide that and build those scorecards to give you, you know, kind of a framework of offering referee as a service, cats as a service, no, compliance as a service.
So some who are probably not familiar with this would probably argue that the reason why we need referees is somebody has to enforce the rules. Dude. So the players would be scared of the rules. And so I guess the first thing I would just be asking is this FUD? Like, am I just yanking on the fear lever and that's all this is?
Yeah. So no, everybody does get, and this is part of the reason why I rebranded, right? Because compliance, risk, scary words, right? And so it doesn't have to be scary, right?
Okay.
In fact, you know, we like to think we make it fun and exciting and easy and, you know, a thing you can actually do, right? A thing you can actually sell services at your MSP by packaging these core components that you're probably already doing and packaging them appropriately. So it doesn't have to be scary. In fact, we like to think we make it fun.
So if I'm, as an example, since this is hosted by OIT, if I'm using a vendor like OIT that is claiming that they're, in OIT's case, they're handling my tax compliance, is that what this is? Is the same type of compliance? Is that different thing?
Well, so there's a couple of different buckets of compliance, right? There's a tax, like you were talking about, right? FCC and paying your taxes for communications, right? That might be one. We like to look at it. There's a privacy bucket, right? California privacy protection. Kentucky just rolled one out like literally 3 days ago. There's a privacy bucket of compliance, GDPR. And then there's also like a security focus, right? Like FTC safeguards. Everybody's talking the buzz CMMC, right? Or the new NIST added, you know, governed domain. So mm-hmm. NIST. So there's like, in at least in our opinion, there's like a privacy bucket, and then there's like a regulated law, legal, security, okay. FTC, CMMC bucket.
So
and they kind of all work together.
I mean, that makes sense to me. So I've got an MSP. I'm not huge, you know, so modest size MSP. I get what you just said. Can't I just go and buy a tool for one bucket, a tool for another bucket, a tool for another bucket, and I'm done? Did I do it? Did I do a compliance?
So compliance is not a tool. It is a people and a process, right? Having the right human in the right spot with the right process, right? There are, and I deal with this a lot in conversation, there are a lot of great marketing companies out there that talk about automating compliance. Bullshit. Right. So did I just say that out loud?
Well, because that's exactly what I was thinking of, is one of the major platform players has an automated compliance platform that, you know, you hand them a check and they magically hand you this platform that just does the compliance and you're done. And right.
So, yeah, I mean, let's dig into that as an MSP. And I know what you're talking about. I don't generally obviously talk about our competition, but we know what's out there. Right. So let's just pick on, I don't know, we'll call it Polar Bear Compliance Company. And by the way, thanks, okay. John from SAS Leo Ovik. We'll call it Polar Bear SAS SOC 2 Compliance.
All right.
So, yes, I buy Polar Bear and I can get my SOC 2, great. But as I start to dig into these tools and I pull in all our connectors and I'm like, oh, you have Google Workspace. Yeah, we don't use that. Oh, you have Salesforce. Yeah, we don't use that. Oh, you have AWS. Oh, yeah, we don't use that. Oh, you have 700 tools that we can integrate into these platforms. But as an MSP, I probably don't use most of them, and nor does my customer. Where compliance scorecard differs is we really focus on the MSP tools and the things that you use every day to build these integrations. So can compliance be automated? We're not there yet. Can pieces of those things be automated? Yeah, I would say, like, for example, are you running MDR, XDR, Huntress, CrowdStrike? Are you running these things that then prove you have next-gen AV, you have next-gen whatever, right? And so Can it be completely automated? No. I think, at least in my initial research, you're looking at about 15 to 20% of the compliance pieces that could be today, but you're never going to be able to remove that human. Somebody needs to read this, and make sure that it actually is the business practice in place.
So I got a quick, I have an actual follow-up question. I have a quick question. So we're talking about integrations. I was just looking at your website and I see you have an integrations page.
Yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised to see that most of the tools I'm seeing on here are MSP tools, for lack of a better term. Like they're friendship shaped tools. These are things I'm used to seeing. How did you guys arrive at who you're currently integrating with? And do you have any sort of like a roadmap in the future with additional cool things you're doing, or is that even something you can talk about right now?
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, we have, and you know, Michelle from LionGuard, Joe from LionGuard, we did a session just last week. Go find it on our LinkedIn and YouTubes. There's this whole idea of vendors better together, right? 10xing the ecosystem, right? There's all this disjointed data. All the tools, I forget the number, 27 maybe on average tools MSPs have, don't hold me to the number, but you have all these tools and none of them talk to each other. None of them talk to each other, right? And so part of what we're building here and with our partners like Connect Secure, LionGuard, you know, Nodeware, Sention, and the list goes on and on. You can see that on our website. These strategic relationships are because us vendors, we want to be better together and be better for the MSPs so that the MSPs are then better for their small customers, right? That whole concept of, you know, I don't care about Salesforce, right? The 0.1% of MSPs that use it, yeah, we'll get to it maybe someday. I do care about the RMM, the PSA, the Azure M365. I do care about the tools that you are using in your everyday practice. And so the more we can work together, the better it's gonna be for the MSPs in the long run.
Well, I'm seeing vendors on here that are competitors, and I appreciate that. Because when I was at my MSP, one of the things that was really frustrating is, yeah, on the one hand, you certainly do want a primary ecosystem because it makes life easier, but you also don't, because then, as we saw with ConnectWise and Kaseya, they started buying up some of our favorite vendors and you kind of had to choose a team. So yeah. I like that you have a diverse set of options here. I don't have to be one kind of MSP.
You don't
come here and feel welcome.
And you know, we've got, you asked about roadmap, you know, hold me to the number, but I think there's 26 or 24 on the roadmap. We're going fast. Every time I turn around, the devs are like, hey, this one's done. Okay, ready for QA. Like, I spend a lot of my time in QA.
we'll have to make sure that we get OIT in here and helped on this list as well.
Well, it's funny you should mention that. Is Jack still on the live stream? Jack, you're still on the live stream. Jack and I just did part of that onboarding literally yesterday, working through kind of what this looks like. So yeah, OIT is part of the family.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you said something before we talked about integrations about the automation component, that there's still a people element in handling this. And one of the challenges I faced at my MSP was that people element, because as we moved into also doing, this was years ago, so not as mature as it is now, but doing compliance, I would occasionally have clients of modest SMB size that would say, I don't care. I will just pay the fees and fines if I ever get caught. And we had a lot of trouble overcoming that type of conversation because I didn't have anyone to talk to learn from. So I got really excited when I saw you were doing peer groups because I was thinking, you know, that's something I totally could have bounced off a peer group if I had it available at the time. How do I approach this conversation? So I guess two questions that come out of that. First of all, what do you tell to SMB clients that have that attitude? And then tell me more about your peer groups, because that's a Dean thing. I'm just like super into peer groups.
Love that. So yeah, obviously you get a lot of objections as MSPs. One of them is the I don't care conversation. The other one is the don't worry, insurance will take care of it conversation. Right. And so, as we all know, cyber liability insurance is getting harder to get and more expensive. We have an integration with Fifth Wall Solutions to help that process, by the way. And so cyber insurance is no longer going to be able to cover their butt, right? Or if it is, right, it's going to get way more expensive and probably not cover everything, right? So, and the if I get caught, well, yeah, there are fines, and those fines are getting steeper and steeper and steeper. And I can bring quotes and stats, and you can find that on our website. But if you get caught and insurance, one of those buckets are going to deal with something when you are caught. Many, many, many states now have reporting laws.
Yes.
And federal reporting laws, 24-hour reporting laws, 48-hour reporting laws. And so if I get caught, you're going to wind up on the front page of something, as you keep seeing in the news. Your brand reputation is going to be destroyed. And recovering from that is not just a fine. It's a complete ecosystem of risk, reputation, and revenue that'll all take a hit. You know, I've seen it time and time and time again. And compliance can help you give some of those guardrails.
We have an audience question here from Greg. What is an example of a compliance touchdown? SOC 2 compliance certification?
So, yeah, you know, interesting, because that certainly implies that you can win the game of football, right? But compliance isn't four quarters and you're done. It is that blue ocean. It is that never-ending horizon that you are constantly staying on, right? SOC 2 is a good example. I can get a SOC 2 type 1, which is a point in time. You look at me today and that's it. Okay, maybe I got a field goal. SOC 2 type 2 is a period of time. So you look at me 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. Great. Now you might have scored a touchdown, but the game ain't over, right? That has a duration to it, right? This is where compliance is headed. You look at the acronym CCM, or continuous compliance monitoring. You hear continuous monitoring everywhere. This is not four quarters of a game. This is an ongoing, and I hate to say, kind of daunting, but it doesn't have to be, because we can make those easier to do that. So,
well, and being that we're both from New England, you could also have 20 years of consistent touchdowns, and then that all changes, you know. So even if you are, you know, doing something that's a point in time, like a SOC 2 audit, and it's continuously going well, eventually it might not. And that might be through a series of conditions that make you very sad and angry. You know, perhaps the ownership of your team makes some questionable decisions. Whatever.
Or the coach does. But,
yes.
Or a player on the team does.
Yes, I know. Exactly.
I'm a huge New England fan, and have been since the early 80s. So I have lived the bad times of the Patriots football and the good times. And now we're back on the bad times. By the way, since you mentioned touchdown and we're talking football, go to our YouTube channel, compliancescorecard.com/YouTube, and watch the series that I did on Sarah, who was started out as an IT, you know, level one, level two. And I walk Sarah through a four-quarter football game to become the MVP of compliance. So I have a whole series around,
I love it,
football and compliance, and kind of walking a technician through that easily. As you know me, I love storytelling.
Yes, that's why I like talking to you. So I know I'm slightly derailing the compliance talk track.
Here we go.
I am super curious. I'm not muted. I'm not pulling a full Ray. I'm curious why you decided to start a peer group. I'm a huge peer group fan, for especially middle management and MSPs, because there's just a real lack of competent management elevation in this space.
Oh, Checkers.
So what made you decide to do this? Because this to me is one of the most interesting elements of your platform versus all of the other platforms that claim, at least superficially, to do the same thing. Why a peer group?
This is actually how we started. There was a large vendor with a big tool back in the late, 2000, 2001, that was buy our tool, make millions on CMMC. Now, fine. A bunch of MSPs bought the tool, locked into 3-year contract, had no idea how to use it. So I started giving free advice on Facebook, LinkedIn, Reddit, blah. Jump on a call, 30 minutes here, 30 minutes. I was basically losing 2 days a week giving free advice away. Not sustainable. I reorganized, restructured, and put a structure of a peer group in place to teach MSPs all these intricacies of, around compliance, around regulations, around frameworks. And so I have to actually thank that vendor, because it was because of them I was able to build community. And we at the MSPs, we talk about community a lot. And that is my heart, is to teach the next generation of MSPs in that community. So yeah, we have a peer group. We meet every Thursday. We have a private Slack group where you can ask the questions you don't want to get flamed for on Reddit. We have resources, we have videos, we have materials, we have the stuff. And so now we're taking some of that material and expanding out. We're working with our friends at Empath Cyber to build out courses on compliance, on GRC governance, risk, and compliance. So I'm almost done this 9-part series that'll go both in our peer group and over at Empath, to give you a foundational thought process around GRC.
So Kyle, yeah, and Wes and Alex, if you're watching, I'm sorry, I owe you my course and I haven't finished recording it. Is there any, is the peer group separate? Like, could anybody join, or is that only for? Okay.
Yeah. So the peer group and the platform, while they work hand in hand, are completely separate. We find a lot of MSPs, like you said, dealing with some of those objections from customers, or not feeling quite comfortable in rolling out a compliance as a service. So they'll come into the peer group, and after, a couple of weeks, a month or whatever, and they're realizing, oh my gosh, I can do this work over here. Now, I do make it very clear in the peer group sessions, I do not talk about the platform. We do not push the platform. Like, it is not a way for us to push the platform. Unless somebody specifically brings it up, those questions about the platform will be held to the end of the conversation, or move to Slack, or move to our, we have a twice a month platform call. So I like to make sure keeping the platform out of the peer group conversation.
I got to respond. Somebody said, go Pats.
Go Pats.
So you had given me a list ahead of this of some of the elements that you felt went into just kind of executing on compliance as a service. And I feel like that's probably worth covering, because there are definitely people on this call who don't know, I'm one of them, who don't necessarily know everything on this list would go on this list.
Yeah. And, here's the thing, we've been talking compliance as a service for a while. Nobody can really define it. So we might as well set the benchmark. We might as well work through what is compliance as a service and take into consideration cyber liability insurance and other frameworks, and kind of think through policies and procedures. Number one, if it's not written down, it doesn't exist, but you're still held accountable. Policies and procedures is the baseline. We know that from running our MSP with onboarding, offboarding, password creation. We know that. We're just, pivoting that now to kind of security and compliance. And we can do that through a compliance scorecard by giving you dozens and dozens and dozens of templates that I wrote for the last 20 years. And yes, I'm not supposed to say I wrote them over the last 20 years. So starting with policies and procedures, but not just a Word document that dies in SharePoint, an actual governed process for this stuff, aligning it appropriately to business practices, working with your customer to authorize this, because it's their stuff, not yours. You need them to sign off and agree. Adopting, like ensuring that end users actually are trained and adopt and sign off and build that corporate culture of security. And then lastly, assessing them, regular cadence. Don't let them die in SharePoint and be forgotten. I mean, I talked to a company a couple months ago and I was like, hey, when's the last time you looked at your employee handbook? And they were like, 14 years? I was like, wait, so, you work from home? How do you do that part though?
That recurring assessment part? Because like we already know a lot of MSPs really struggle simply with setting a TBR or QBR and delivering enough value where their clients will show up for like the second or third one. That's already a struggle that most MSPs have. And I would imagine if they don't comfortably understand how to communicate the value of compliance, they would struggle even harder to set that meeting cadence with their compliance as a service. What do they do to get around that?
This is really the benefit of the platform is, you know, with our integrations and bringing your customer into that collaborative environment, right? So the notifications, we're building out Slack and Teams, so they're being notified over there, email, you know, ticketing, blah, blah, blah. So it's really a collaborative effort between you and your customer. And we're just going to keep bugging them until they do the work, right? So I get it. Getting a customer to a QBR, well, that's an Alex and Marnie, you know, right. Lifecycle Insights, our friends over at, you know, Lifecycle or now ScalePad, that's a them conversation that, and they've nailed that, but we're facilitating that work via, you know, email, Slack. Well, Slack and Teams are on the way, but you get the idea is now they have actionable items that your customer can actually do on a monthly basis, on a reoccurring basis. It's like, hey, you have a ticket, go do it. Hey, we have a thing, go do it. And, you know, they're being the reminder. So it's
that means that the end clients have a responsibility here too, right? This isn't something I just abdicate to my MSP. And I'm sure my MSP puts in place many elements or frameworks or cornerstones that allow me to become compliant with whatever I'm trying to be compliant with. But right, this isn't just the MSP's problem.
Yeah, no, it's not the MSP's problem. Well, I have lots of thoughts about this. So here's let's break it down from the very top level. I know we want to talk about the six categories of what goes in that, but at the very So GTN's part of our dev team, and he's like, Slack integration's already in the works. Like, I have to find out on a live stream from my devs that it's in the works. Thanks. Okay, sorry, I had to digress there. Where was I going? I just got totally waylaid by my devs putting on the live stream a feature I asked for like months ago.
He also admitted to being a Tampa Bay fan, so you know.
Yeah, we know. That's
maybe you need new devs.
Maybe I need. They are based in Florida, so I'll have to give them that. So I forgot the question.
Just whose responsibility ultimately this is, because we do tend to find with a lot of just IT services in general, not even just MSP, our end clients or end users tend to look at the IT department as this is your problem and just kind of tend to abdicate everything over to the IT department. Yeah.
Now I remember where I was going. And our good friends, Eric Tilds, Brad Gross, and the others talk about it starts with your MSA. By the way, for those in the audience, put a number or years in chat How many years ago was the last time you had your MSA legally reviewed?
Ooh, good one.
Right? Do you do it annually? Has it been 5 years since you've had it legally reviewed? And by legally reviewed, I mean an actual MSP lawyer, not some guy you got off a LegalZoom or a person. Or
I get my MSAs from Reddit.
Yeah. Exactly. So while we're bantering and talking about the MSA through the process and the owner of risk, let us know in chat, how many years has it been since you've had your MSA legally reviewed? Now, yes, it starts with your MSA. That's a whole nother can of worms that I'm not legally qualified to talk about. Great. And that flows all the way down through to the services that you're delivering to your end customer. And if you're not defining those services appropriately, then you own that risk. You are part of that and culpable of that risk, right? If you're not working together to have exceptions of that risk or delineating that risk between you and your customer, because you didn't start at the top with your MSA all the way through, you're most likely just as liable. I mean, maybe Simon can find that recent article that came out a week or two ago about an MSP getting sued because they thought they were just taking care of it, right? That's a huge challenge in the industry. In fact, I got a great little YouTube short, like, you own all the risk and you need to do something about it. And you need to start with your MSA and flow that all the way down to policies and procedures and so on and so forth.
I got yelled at years ago by Justin over at Tech Rug because I was, when we were in MSP, I was talking about some stuff we were doing and how the client had opted out of it. And basically, I had no way to prove that. And he was yelling at me. He's like, it's layers of an onion. Like, you need to be able to show all the steps you've taken to consistently notify your clients of the risk they're kind of just kicking under the like carpet. And you can't just like not talk about it because you don't want to. Yeah.
Well, there's that phrase, right? Plausible deniability. But the reality is there is no deniability. You know what is and isn't being done, right? You're the person, right? You're the technical expert. And because your customer is literally thinking, oh, they got this, when you really might not, right? Like 2FA, we're still 2024, we're talking 2FA, right? Why are we just not YubiKeys? You know, Windows Hello is part of, like, right. So yeah, so MSPs are owning all the risk. They're owning that risk because they don't have proper agreements in place. They don't flow that through policies and procedures. I don't want to talk about the MSA stuff because I'm not a lawyer. But we can help you with all the policies and procedures. We can help you with operationalizing that at scale.
So you mentioned 2FA. What's some other common areas that this sort of broadly applies to at MSP?
Yeah. So when we think of a compliance offering at our MSP, you know, and maybe repurposing and repackaging some of the things you're probably already doing, like backups, like identity management. Or privileged management, right? That whole like human layer, that whole access layer, right? So backups and access layer, whether it's PAM, privileged access, or identity, IAM, that kind of access. Policies and procedures, right? You mentioned that several times already. Conducting regular risk assessments, finding out where those gaps are, right? Two-factor we mentioned. Security awareness training. Do I need to beat that horse? Right. There are simple things that you probably are already doing a vast majority of them and might only need to add on a couple of pieces like policies, like risk assessments, like having the risk conversation with your customer on a regular cadence. Right. I'm going to coin the new term instead of QBR, it's RBR. Or risk business review.
I like that already. That's great.
Yeah. So there are just some key things you can do. If you take anything away from this conversation as an MSP, take away policies and procedures, security awareness training, two-factor authentication, backups, dealing with that identity layer, right? Just a few simple things. And then here's the cool part. Maybe you're doing backup. Maybe you're doing these and you're part of all of your all-inclusive package that you have today. Pull one or two of those pieces out, add the other pieces, and now you have another package that you can then bring to your customer and have that risk and maturity conversation with the customer, right? And I get it. Like, Baker doesn't care about cybersecurity, but the Baker probably cares to know that the device he added to his freezer to keep track of the temperature has now been hacked. And he doesn't know the temperature of the freezer. And he comes in the next morning and everything is thought out because the IoT device, because there isn't any compliance, there isn't any checks and balances of that stuff.
Well, there's also what we've been seeing more of this sort of indirect risk where, you know, a lot of us have a lot of random technology that might already be compromised that isn't harming us, but can be used as a staging point to harm someone else. And then when the forensics are done later, how responsible am I? And it's largely not been addressed very much in the cybersecurity space at a small level. But if you think about it, like if I had somebody who was using my driveway to consistently commit a felony and they got caught, at a certain point, if it came up that I was kind of aware or intentionally was unaware of it, I probably would be at least civilly liable. So it
just because I'm leaning in and listening because there's a lot to unpack there, right?
Well, because I'm thinking like your example, like the baker, like they just make bread, like fine, my customer database got hacked. That stinks for my local customers, but it's not like not the crime of the century. You're not gonna shut down the grid because people's bread got compromised, or could you? Because if all of those machines are IoT connected and aren't being, you know, really monitored or managed, because whatever, then could they be a staging point that something else gets compromised? And what if eventually fingers come back to point at you and your response is, I never bothered to pay attention to any of that. I don't care. I don't know. Yeah. I wouldn't want to be that baker.
Right. So there's a lot to unpack there, right? First and foremost, if I'm, you know, Johnny Baker or Delta Dental, oops, that's actually a company, sorry, or Johnny Dental or Joe's Lug Nuts or Acme or whatever, like there can be things that can happen in our environment as a small business that could lose a finger, could make people very sick, right? Let's say, right, for example, you know, it's 4 o'clock on a Friday and the monitors of the temperature things go down, thus rendering the eggs or the milk or the stuff sour.
Right.
And then Monday morning, when you come back in, it's got back up. So you were completely unaware that this happened over a weekend or a long holiday weekend or whatever. And now you're using tainted or sour or whatever materials to make your donuts, and everybody gets sick. And you were none the wiser because you had no idea, right? So there's that kind of example of risk. But you brought up something very interesting. Our business, or a business gets breached. Has an incident. I'm not supposed to use the B word.
Yes.
Has an incident. Has an incident. And then they're unaware of that incident. But then that is a jumping off point for other incidents to happen. Now that's an interesting conversation that maybe would be a whole nother live stream.
Well, it's one of my biggest fears being at a, sorry, I don't know which finger I was using, being at a vendor like helped. And a lot of the other vendors in this space where we have basically always on tools that, you know, we've seen this happen. We've seen this happen like with like SolarWinds or Kaseya, like Screen Connect. Like we've seen an otherwise good vendor have a small blip that caused a massive problem, not really for the vendor, but for everyone else. And so far, we've only really seen it at a large scale like that with people that have the resources to kind of clean it up, both literally and you know, in the news, so to speak. But like, what if that happens to Joe Baker? I mean, what if that happens to, you know, the local dental office where all their imaging machines get compromised.
Like Josh just threw in there, their deli, right? I mean, like, no baloney. It can happen to a deli, you know? Certainly lots to unpack. That jumping off point, like, you have my gears spinning, and it's probably going to need to be a Team Tim Friday live stream at this point. Because,
well, that concept came actually from OIT. Because when I was briefly over there, kind of like straightening out the client success department, I would meet a lot of MSPs and ask them if they were approaching selling basically unmanaged 2-port Linux switches that they can't secure from a security standpoint, and were they using that to sell VoIP? I'm like, are you going into an existing MSP and say, you know, existing client that has an MSP and saying, are they managing all of these high risk IoT devices by segregating them? No,
yeah.
I know the answer is no. Offer to do that for them and you'll be impressive. And that's what got us thinking a lot about, like, wow, like, it's not just your Amazon Alexas or like your Honeywell thermostats that could get hacked. Like, I have 2 printers behind me, and like, they're Linux computers. I can't secure those. So right. if and they're connected so to the internet, yeah, who knows what they're doing?
Yeah. And it just so happens that printer behind you has one of our old stickers on it that I can see.
Yes.
Literally front and center. yeah, you know, you make a really good point, right? Like, it's not just your thermostats or your cameras and, you know, that. Like, some of these things run full-blown operating systems, and they can act as jumping off points. And, you know, that... the gears are spinning. I'm going to have to do a whole nother session on this.
All right.
Because that, like, totally went off the rails from compliance as a service.
But I think the takeaway I got, and I've gotten in the past from talking to you, is that if I'm following a compliance framework, I'm having these regular meetings, I'm going through the list, I'm verifying my policies and procedures, there's a better sense that both me and my client will at least be aware of and then can choose to take action on or not take action on things like my printer getting compromised or the Unify AP sitting right there that, you know, maybe my network doesn't get hacked, but it's used to hack someone else's. If I'm just ignoring all of that, there's pretty much no chance I'd even have the wherewithal to do something about it.
Right. Let's even just take the word compliance out of the conversation, right? As I mentioned before, compliance, referee, playbooks, blah, 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 touchdowns, fun things. Let's just take CIS, right? We all know CIS. It is not a specific legal regulatory framework like, I don't know, CMMC, for example, or 800-171. But let's just take CIS. Well, number one, figure out what you have. Number two, figure out what's on it. Number three, figure out who can deal with it, right? It is a prescriptive way for you as an MSP to walk into the conversation with your customer and say, no, I don't have this. Yeah, you think we're the IT guy and we got it. Or, you know, hey, we're your lawyer, we got it. Hey, we're doctor, we got, no, wait a minute. I can walk into that customer and I can say, no, we don't, because you know what? We kind of walked through this thing and we identified all these areas of things that just aren't being done. And you think we are, and our MSA says, yeah, we're not, because you're, you know, not properly informed, MSA, blah, blah, blah. But regardless of the bad things, let's just build a better defensible business. Good practices, good business hygiene, right? So very easy to have this conversation. Number one, a lot of companies have an HR either outsourced or insourced. Right. That HR has rules. Do you have an employee handbook? Do you do sexual harassment training? Do you do an onboarding? Do you do a thing? Like, HR is kind of like compliance for business. Well, risk frameworks is compliance, but for cybersecurity, for business. You're doing the same things. It's just in a different area of the business.
That's a great analogy too, because all of us have to handle HR and most of us aren't HR experts, and we're able to make it work. We're running short on time. So if anyone wants to continue this conversation with you, how do they get a hold of you? What's the best way to get engaged with Compliance Scorecard?
Yeah. So the best way is obviously going to our website, clicking on the live demo link. We run these every Tuesday. So same bat time, same bat channel. It'll give you an opportunity to get a feel for the platform. Obviously, there's contact us on the website. You can find them. Tend to be all over LinkedIn, Facebook, and Reddit. I feel like I've arrived at Reddit because I got my first like flame war on Reddit. Like, woohoo! After years, I fight. Like, anyways. So, you know, we're on Reddit, we're on LinkedIn, we're on all the socials. You can, if, trust me, you can find us pretty much everywhere. There's a boatload of free downloads on our website because we like to try to give back. Yeah, they're gated with an email because, you know, marketing, right? You do that with your customers. But yeah, you can find us on our website, LinkedIn, and all that fun stuff. But let me make sure that we kind of come back to specific. Number one, join a live demo. Number two, either contact us directly on the website and other places like that. So,
and I know that you go to a lot of events and shows. As I already told everybody, Tim is awesome to hang out with at shows.
Oh, thank you.
If you thought he was funnier, he's way more fun in person. So where are you going to be? Where can people see you next?
Yeah. So MSP GeekCon, we have a pre-day session with that. Remember that nine series I talked about of teaching GRC to the level nobody like. We're going to deliver that with our good friend Bob Miller and Brian Blakely and a few others. We're going to deliver that at the pre-day at MSP GeekCon. Maybe Simon can pull up mspgeekcon.com and people can like go there. So we'll be at MSP GeekCon. We are very excited because we just locked in PAX 8 Beyond. So we will be a new proud sponsor of PAX 8. Beyond. Okay. Lots of fun things happening with PAX 8. Can't let cats out of the bag yet, but we'll be at PAX 8 Beyond. We will be at ChannelCon for what is it renamed now from CompTIA? We'll be at CompTIA event. We're looking at one in Canada, actually. I'm pretty excited about one in Canada.
Nice.
You know, yeah, we have some MSPs from Canada, so might as well go do their conference.
The Blue Jays are my backup baseball team if the Red Sox are really failing me. I know we're in the same league, but they hate the Yankees just as much.
And, you know, probably the best way would be to go to our webinars and events page on our website and, you know, kind of, you know, if you see us on LinkedIn, you'll see our events there. If you see us on, like, the socials, you know, subscribe to the LinkedIn or newsletter and you'll be in the know. So MSP Geek, PAX 8 Beyond, CompTIA. We're looking at this one from Canada. CanIt, C-A-N-I-T, CanIt, well, no, CanItCon. So yeah, we're trying to be in a lot of the places, but it's terribly expensive and draining.
It's a lot of work. Speaking of Simon, what upcoming stuff do we have for MMN?
Yeah, so we just got wrapped up with the partner first. So if you didn't catch all of it, you can watch the recording. Make sure you hit up Tim for more compliance advice. We had AR Roundup come out today as well at 10 a.m. So if you didn't catch that, it was a 6-minute watch. It's very quick. And then our last event of the week will be this Friday, MSP Community Live episode 31. It will be hosted by Matt Topper and Kyle Spooner of MSP Geek.
Oh, Kyle, I'm not tuning in for that then. I would if it was just Matt Topper, I would have done it. But Kyle, I don't know. I can't support him. Tim, this was awesome. I wish we had a few more hours. Tim is this easy to talk to. If you have questions about any of this, just start talking to Tim on one of the platforms he's on, and he will have this easy of a conversation. It's that good. Tim, thank you so much for being here.
I appreciate that. And yeah, like hopefully we can make compliance uncomplicated for you all. Thank you for having me. And, you know, we're really excited to be part of the MSP community.
It was an absolute pleasure. Everybody have a fantastic Wednesday. And I guess don't turn into MSP Community Live with Kyle Spooner. You don't want to see that.
Awesome.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.